A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Burnley. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. There it is again, still just about the sound of the Rowett train, just about still on the rails, joining me to consider the terminus that's looming in the distance now. Joining me is Station Master Neil Fissler. Welcome to the show, Neil.
I prefer to be called the Fat Controller, actually.
I wasn't going to call you Fat Master.
Probably the nicest thing you could have said there, Nick.
To all draw listeners up there at St Andrews this afternoon. A strange game, I felt, Neil. High drama mixed with some fairly slapdash defending and, you know, silly moments that gave away some promising situations at the, especially once we got back into the game in the second half. But there's much to debate about the game, but it just feels a bit like we've given away a big situation this afternoon. How did you feel after that?
Mate, 50 years ago, Birmingham City buggered up our chances of playing in the First Division.
They did.
And history's actually repeated, or 51 years ago, I think history's actually repeated itself, isn't it, really? But they didn't bugger it up. I think we nosed it up ourselves, really, didn't we? There was not enough. We didn't show enough ambition for most of the game.
No.
To be quite honest, the result was what this Millwall team is about. Yeah, we're a very dogged team. We're a very determined team. We can ground out results when it's needed. But we just didn't show enough, I don't think. I think we needed to go for it a little bit more. And there was a lot at stake. When we're at 1-0, 1-1, I'd rather we lost 3-1 and went down really fighting than dragging out this lingering death that is our playoff hopes and ambitions. And it's quite a frustrating situation where you sat there watching the game and you're just thinking, go for it, bloody go for it. But we just don't have that oomph at times, do we? I don't know if it's the players or if it's more likely the manager's tactics, but
combination of both. I saw I think it's Tony Dolby, Dolby online. I think that's Tony, ex Millwall player, obviously. If so, and he posted the other day, he might have been yesterday, that in these situations, we've got the big time potentially on the table, but in these situations where you need 3 wins from 3 matches, good teams press ahead and make it happen. And I thought that was quite a telling point, because he's right, you know, some situations, the big teams, the big time players step up to the plate and they make it happen. And we, again, today, we've brought Keith Dembele back into the midfield today, which I couldn't quite see the purpose of, other than the fact he's going back to Birmingham City. I don't know if that's intended as some kind of farewell St Andrews for him or something. I don't know. But I didn't see what Keith Dembele particularly brought to us that Billy Mitch wasn't supplying, unless Billy was overstretched. And I would have thought Billy would have loved to have been in that big time situation today. But anyway, but again today, Neil, we started fairly cold. I mean, they hit the post inside in the first minute from a free kick.
Yeah, we got lucky with that, didn't we?
Extremely lucky. And we got extremely lucky. So they've hit the woodwork, listeners, inside 1 minute. And then I've noted down a free header on, I think it was 14 from a corner, which was put well wide in the event, but free header. This has been a little bit of a regular thing lately. As the season has got hot, we seem to have frozen a bit, Neil. Nerves, do you think, or...?
It's potentially nerves. I think there's no other, yeah, there's plenty of things you could say. You could say it's the tactics again. It's just, do we start slow? But you're right. We seem to be starting slow, but we end quite strong.
Yeah.
It's kind of bipolar Millwall, isn't it? As always, it's just one of those.
Well, it is, because I mean, I'm going back to the first half. So they've hit the post. They've had a free header, and my note to myself, listeners, was that we were halfway through the half, nothing going on from the Millwall perspective. But then we had a little bit of a phase where we actually raised our game, and when we raise our game, Neil, we don't look bad. There's a bit of a few chances on in succession around the 30 minute mark, and there was that shot from Hutchinson that was somehow headed off the line. I mean, it's either the most brilliant thing you'll ever see, or it was a really lucky right time, right place moment from the defender. It's a full-blooded blast on goal from Sean Hutchinson. And that could have gone in the net and maybe the game.
Poor thanks to Rang, didn't it? I think there was a couple of people and it came out to him. It was one hell of a shot. I'll give him that. But the defender was there. I think Birmingham were there for the taking. Haven't they conceded a load of goals?
Ten in two games.
Yeah, with 10 in two games. McDonald's boy there is under pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'd absolutely have loved to have seen him in tears again.
It would have been nice.
Favourite club.
But we didn't impose ourselves, Neil.
Impose ourselves on the game. And that is the most frustrating. I'm not advocating we go out gung-ho from the very first whistle, because then you end up on the end of a 5-0, 5-1 win if you don't go a goal up or two.
Yeah.
We just didn't show enough for an awful lot of that first half.
No, they hit the post just before half-time. They hit the post again, so there's twice they've hit the woodwork,
Yeah, but that guy causes some problems, that guy up front.
Lyle
Taylor, the other one.
Bakuna.
Yeah.
Strong player. We made them look... I agree, they were there for the taking, and they're clearly a team with issues. If you can concede 10 goals in two games over Easter, then clearly, defensively, they're fragile. But we didn't exploit that. First half closed out.
No, we didn't. We made them look like Liverpool, quite frankly, didn't we?
We did.
We just said it's just this mentality that at times that we want to make things as hard as we can for ourselves. And we were roared on by a substantial backing.
1,800 travelled up.
Yeah, 1,800 was all the tickets that they would give us.
Yeah.
I think we'd have probably sold a few more if we could have. And there just wasn't an awful lot to get excited about for awful long periods of that first half, mate.
No, I mean, half-time, 0-0. I've written here in my notes, listeners, that we've ridden our luck because they've hit the woodwork twice. They've had a wide-open head that another team would have expected to have put on target at the very least. We did have that chance from Hutchinson, and we're unlucky. I think there was a save from Murray Wallace in the lead-up to that moment. So you've got this strange bipolar thing. I think that's a good way to put it, Neil. Whether it's politically correct or not, I don't know, listeners, but it is this lurch between insipid and then really looking quite bright when we get it together. But the second half started, we're back to insipid again because there's just some flappy defence and a free shot on goal. From the six, I think that was Taylor that scored that opening goal on 46 minutes, fired home from close. And we just look so panicky in defence for a big situation. Now, it feels a little bit unforgivable in the big situation to go to pieces in that way. You know, as the tweet from Dolby said, Tony, big good teams don't do that, do they? They rise to the occasion.
Mate, if you think that bipolar is not politically correct, wait until we get onto the penalties. Mate, I think the defence was our strong point earlier in the season.
Yeah, yeah.
For an awful long time, but it just seems that since Hutchinson went out of the side, since he got injured, something's not been right back there. I think we had a few injuries, didn't we? Didn't Ballard get injured just afterwards?
Ballard was injured. I mean, Ballard was in a battle with Bakuna, and he was a good player, actually. They had a couple of good players. I mean, I don't know what issues would go on at Birmingham to generate two losses with 10 goals conceded, but I thought going forwards, they didn't look like too bad a side. But as you rightly said, Neil, we allowed them to look good, didn't we? We didn't really match them where we needed to match them through the whole game, really.
Yeah, my series, there was no Jed Wallace in there.
No Jed Wallace. No party. Yes.
And this is an insight, I think, into what life could be like without him next season, because he's that creative spark, I think. And
well, yeah,
have another one. To be quite, you to be quite frank.
No.
Creative spark, we do look short of ideas. It's almost as if we haven't got any players that can grasp the nettle, if you like, to get us going, to fire us up a little bit.
We have no magic. I mean, what we do have, and the introduction of Mason Bennett, who spends a lot of time out injured, but when he does come in, listeners, 63rd minute, he produces industry, and like Tom Bradshaw up front, another industrious player. And that I think is the replacement for Jed's ability to do the unexpected and to produce moments of sheer quality and magic, as we've said. It was great to get back into the game on 67. That was a cross from Bennett, and headed back, I think, by Danny Mack. And a player that I was going to actually criticise, but Oliver Burke slotted it in. But I'm not convinced by Oliver Burke, despite that well-taken goal. That's going to sound very contradictory. But I think Burke, Neil, was brought in to try and supply some of the stardust that we're going to lose with Jed. And I don't think is the answer, personally.
Yeah, no, to be honest, for a player who's gone for, what, £18 million in transfer fees?
Rated very highly, yeah.
Has been capped by Scotland. Yeah, no, I think you're right. Maybe not helped by injury.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Played an awful lot of it before he arrived with us.
I mean, He took the goal well. I mean,
very well. And I think a couple of times, a couple of games, he's shown glimpses of what he can do. I recall a run and a cross at Luton, I think. Didn't that provide a goal for somebody?
I think Afobe finished it, I think. Yeah. Finished it very well.
So there are glimpses that they... And, yeah, well, obviously you don't go for that money in and around the Championship during your career without there being a player in there somewhere.
No.
Maybe it's a case of if we do get him, that he gets a full summer under his belt, gets completely fit... and plays from the start, and then maybe you'll see a different player. But I'm very much unconvinced by him. I think if we wanted to sign him, for me, he would have to either be another season-long loan,
yeah,
or a player that was very, very cheap that we could sign on our terms.
We'll see on that. I think that was the intention behind... the likes of Burke, and I mean, Luke Freeman hasn't featured much apart from about a 12-minute cameo when he did come in before he got injured.
3 minutes, wasn't it? Then he got injured.
Yes, so I think these are kind of attempts to try and replace the magician that will be, hopefully, who knows whether we'll keep Jed or not. We can't really speculate at this point. But I mean, having got ourselves back into a game, it was quite open. But then we come to the penalty, and I fear that I might hear some politically incorrect terms from you now, Neil, for the concession of a very soft penalty, a very stupid penalty, I thought, by Jules Savile. I mean, a lot of rugby tackling goes on in football, and it seems to be tolerated to a level by referees, but you can't really complain when you've got your arms around Lyle Taylor, the referee, in full view of the referee. They're going to give one against you at some point.
Mate, it's something that we get away with quite a lot. Jake Cooper's famous one for grabbing older people in the box.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder how mentally inadequate a footballer needs to be that that they try that kind of thing. Yeah. Every now and again, you are going to get a referee who will say, no, sorry, right, that's a penalty, and away you go. Yeah, it was completely and utterly moronic. You just wonder, yeah, were they headed the ball too much? There's a bit too much brain damage there. Yeah?
I agree.
Because it's just a completely... Yeah, but it's not only us, but you see it in a lot of games.
A lot of teams do it.
And it just frustrates the hell out of you that every single, or you know, 90% of corners and free kicks, teams are tugging and pulling and rugby tackling. Mm. Yeah, right, it is more. Yeah, but it's more akin to a rugby tackle, and even then, that would be a red card because you're tackling around the neck. And you just wonder why. You just wonder, don't they? Don't they think that you're rolling the dice? And it was as soft as you like, but it was definitely a penalty.
It was a penalty. The referee had let one go earlier on. I think that was Jake Cooper who had kind of rolled with Lyle Taylor into the back of the net, and there was a bit of hoo-ha after that. So, you know, it was an officious referee, but you can't actually disagree with his decision. I mean, and he'd let some go already. And you can't keep expecting the referee to let go. I mean, I suppose you could argue consistency, but that's against the rules, and you're going to get punished for it at some point. I don't understand it.
I don't understand it, and I don't know why managers...
I don't know why they tolerate it.
Aren't say to them, yeah, but if I was there, if I was the manager today when Cooper came in, I'd have put his head through the wall. Yeah. Because that was a totally unnecessary thing to do. I think we were on top at the time, weren't we? They hadn't seized control of things.
Savile did it, didn't he? So it was Savile, yeah. But it was unnecessary. And I guess Lyle Taylor's he's a striker, so you'd expect him to be dangerous. But at one
he's each, a striker in that situation. If he's 6'9". And quite likely to plonk his head on the ball, you roll the dice a little bit, don't you? But not a bloody little Guinness-haired Muppet that used to play for the Spotters.
I agree. I mean, the game is level. The stakes are still big. I don't get the mentality that says you wrestle a player in front of the referee. I mean, maybe if you're chasing a game, maybe if you can't go two goals behind, maybe, but I don't know. But you're going to have to expect a penalty and therefore, probably in all probability, a goal to be awarded against you. And lo and behold, Taylor, it turns out, is a pretty lethal penalty taker with a bit of strength.
Yeah, but the run-up.
Well, he's walked up to it and waited for the goalkeeper to move it. I mean...
Yeah, Bart almost got there, to be honest. Because but it's just so, so frustrating that you put yourself in that situation to start off with. You need to get a win.
Yeah.
And it's like everything else we've spoken about in this game. And you've got a player who blows hot and cold. He goes against... Make him fucking walk home from Birmingham. Yeah?
Get him make his own way. I mean, get on the train with the fans and hear about it.
Contributed towards us... More than likely, not getting in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, at 2-1, I mean, I felt the season was finished at that point. We then opened up late, with a few. We've got a lot of added time added on by the referee for various reasons.
Bradshaw, I thought, was unlucky with a couple of chances afterwards. And
it was my choice for man of the match today because I just like his industry and I like his willingness to keep going. There was no one that was particularly brilliant out there today, Neil, I felt. But if you're going to choose one, I'd sooner choose a bloke that looks like he wants it and tries hard and keeps largely speaking within the rules of the game. The penalty was high drama. I mean,
what did he give it for? I've got absolutely. I don't think anybody knows what he gave the penalty for.
Well, I confess, listeners, I actually lost my connection, and just in the moments leading up to the penalty, I lost the connection, so I can't answer your question, Neil.
A ball came over into the box, yeah, and it looked as if he's the one with the long hair who needs to go.
Croatia.
To a bloody. Wrestled somebody to the ground. They showed it from about 15 angles on iFollow, and you still didn't have really any idea
what the referee
gave it for.
I think the referee wanted to play some drama in the afternoon, late, which he did. I mean, well, again, cool blood to take a penalty in that situation. The Phoebe did well to put it away. I wouldn't have fancied taking that personally. Listeners with 1800
balls time, that is definitely big balls time. You need
big
to
get balls time,
in playoff picture and you step up and you finish it. But
and then we made a little run on 90+8. Beard Tyler managed to win a corner, which unfortunately didn't work out. So there it is, 2 each. I mean, you've got to say, I'm just looking at the league table, Neil, as the afternoon finished. I mean, 3 points now separate us from Sheffield United. One more point for Sheffield means we're out of the playoffs, presuming that we beat Peter. And we've still got they've got a +6 goal difference. So the odds are stacked against us, really. But while there's life, there's hope, I suppose.
And then we've got a win at Bournemouth.
Yeah, I think you've got manager expectations, listeners, on this one. I mean, it's been a curious season, Neil, and I feel like we are talking about the end of the season now, really, although I think we've got to be realistic, because there's been some moments of pretty poor football mixed with some moments of high drama and some good stuff too, and it's felt very Gary Rowerty. I'm going to revive that expression, Rowerty, because you never quite know what you're going to get. But invariably, it's this mixture of good and bad, you know.
Mate, I think it's a lot better than we've seen at times under other managers.
Yeah, we are seventh. I do take that point, yeah.
We are seventh. We're pushing for the playoffs, even though ultimately I don't think we'll make them.
No.
So you've got to say that overall it's been quite a positive season in lots and lots and lots of ways. I think the positivity outweighs anything negative. We've not been out by injuries, I think.
No, COVID has played its part, which it has for everybody. But
I think we only wanted a smaller squad, and we aren't financially blessed where we can.
No,
quite a big squad.
No,
so I think when you sit down and you look at this season in the cold light of day in June, July time, you'll think it's been a decent season. It'll be another story of what could have been.
Mm.
But I think at one stage we were worried that we were going to get dragged into the relegation mire, weren't we?
We were, that's right.
I think around about what, the end of last year, the beginning of this year, I forget when it was. The football was absolutely awful.
Yeah.
And you just didn't know what we were going to do.
I mean, you and me do a few history shows in our time. I'm trying to think of many times. Presuming we're going to finish seventh, but that's seventh or eighth. I'm trying to think of many times. There won't be many times, listeners, where we finished as a club higher than that. There'd be one or two. You know, you can probably reel off the occasions and off the top of your head. So it will be some achievement to finish seventh. And I'm still left with this curious kind of what if feeling out of it, although Neil, today probably. Depicted that quite clearly. Situations where we've got potential rewards within grasp, and somehow we've contrived to let it slip. Speaking, I'm hoping that this is a platform that Gary Rowett, presuming that he stays, presuming the club will back him to some level anyway, that this is a platform we can use to build on, because that's got to be that's got to be what we try to do from here. I'm guessing that we finish seventh. Let's keep our fingers crossed on that front. It's got to be seen as a platform to move forwards from. I hope anyway.
But that's hope. That's the case.
Well, as historians, we probably would say it's a rare time that that's ever happened. So we'll see what the summertime brings.
I think this is the time. I think we're going to need a big squad clear out this year.
And there's a few that I would not.
There's a few players out of contract.
Yeah,
a fair few I wouldn't keep. We've got a few players on loan, and I know we say this is Rowett's chance to stamp his mark on the squad, but this is his squad. I think the majority of it, or quite a lot of it now, isn't it, to all intents and purposes? He brought a lot of these players in.
Yeah, this is largely his squad. And it is a curious mixture for me, listeners, that we've done both well and should have done better. And we could have been looking at relegation at one point. So,
not exactly. That thing. So, and here we are in April talking about how we could have made the playoffs. And so it's not all doom and gloom. Yeah.
No. I'm just going to run for a few tweets that I've liked on my Twitter feed, just to give us a feeling from the reaction online so far. Kevin Fuller thinks the race has been run now, but to have a chance still, and it is an outside chance, with still two games to go to run, is some achievement from where we were. I think that's probably what we've been saying, largely speaking there, Neil. And Peter Gray says the sheer fact we can get and score a penalty in the 96th minute to keep us within reach is just as insane as it gets. Ed Castle thinks that the Rowett train nearly sitting at Cannon Street and ready to go, but it's been 15 minutes wait now. The driver has come on once and said there's a technical issue and he's trying to resolve before we can leave. Some of the passengers are now heading back onto the platform. he's pursued the train metaphor a long way there. Well done. Well done to Ed. And Jake Sanders, just to conclude, a Phobie's penalty keeps Mills' season alive. That's a really poor result, says Jake. I think it's a hard time of the season. I think it is a poor result given the situation, Neil. So I think that's actually a fair assessment from Jake Sanders.
Yeah, we're punched above our weight again.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it, it's not a bad position to be in. We're punching above our weight. Yeah, really, we ought not to be anywhere near where we are in the table.
No. It's going to be interesting to see how we develop this situation. I think that's going to be key. Still an outside chance going into next week, and then we'll see what happens over the course of the season.
I really do hope the manager does stay. I know I've been critical of him at times, but he's as good as we're going to get at the moment, I think. Yeah, all these nostalgic, let's get Morrison in and...
Yeah, I mean...
Harris was back, that kind of thing, because he's done something at Gillingham, or he was doing something at Gillingham. I'm not sure where they are in the table now.
I mean, Morrison's an unproven quantity. I mean, 19th in the table, we're seventh. So I think that's the answer to, you know, that at the moment. I know that football changes, and Harris, while... I think we've heard that song before, haven't we? I mean, he was good for what he was good for, but I think you're right. I think Gary Rowett does give us a sense that we're aiming for a higher level. And some of the players that he's signed, however, it's in some cases not completely worked out. I'm thinking of Burke and Freeman and a Phobie to some level. He manages
to his strengths. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do wish that his coaching staff had a little bit of an attacking flair, because they all seem to be defensive coaches, don't they? I know that.
Yeah. I'm just looking at that.
Were defenders. Adam Barrett was a defender. Rowett was a defender.
We're not naturally a side that, and we've said it already, we don't seem to impose ourselves on games.
No.
And I'm just quite catching myself saying Benik Afobe, jury's still out, but I mean, he's a 12-goal striker for us this season. Tom Bradshaw's on 9, and then obviously Jed and on 6 in third spot. And Murray Wallace, our third highest striker, Neil, for the season, 6 goals at the moment.
That says a lot, I think, that. But 12 isn't a bad return.
No, it's not. No.
Yeah. No, I know we get carried away Mitrovic scoring 40 odd goals, but Christ almighty, they're paying him more than our entire squad costs. Yeah, they're paying him hundreds of thousands of pounds a week to do that. And we're shopping at the bargain end of the.
We're in the Primark, and they're shopping in
Waitrose, aren't they? Almost
they're in the Waitrose. That's right.
But we need to be aiming for. We need to be aiming for the Lidl and the Aldi, really, don't we? Somebody that's a bit of an unknown quantity.
We need to find that. Whether that's going to come through from the ranks of the academy and the youngsters, I don't know. I don't think we'll see any dramatic changes to the 11 next week. We still are in with an outside shout, depending on other results.
You know, Barrett doesn't do it, does he? There were 3 or 4 times. No. I think last season, was it, when we didn't have anything to play for?
Yeah.
In the last 3 or 4 weeks, or the last 2 or 3, 4 games of the season. And he just, I think everybody wanted, was it Bury to play and 1 or 2
others? A little bit of Southern kids, yeah, Zach.
Yeah, yeah. And he just wouldn't play them. I don't think he's that type of manager. I think
no,
Jacket wasn't to an extent, but I think at the last game of the season, especially at Wolves, he threw on Philpott and a few others, didn't he?
Jamie Philpott, who plays at Glebe.
This season, hasn't he?
Southern Counties League. So anyway, that's another story. We shall see, listeners. I do think that we are now at the end of the line, but we will be back after the Peterborough game next Saturday to chew over the cud. I want to say a big thank you to Neil to take time out your Saturday night. Thanks for joining me.
Can I just add one thing?
Of course you can.
I'd just like to send everybody's condolences to Mark Beard.
Yes,
good call.
Yeah.
Great guy, great mate of mine. Doesn't like talking about his goal against Arsenal at Ivory too much.
Ivory, yeah.
Who lost his dad, Mick.
This saw that, yeah.
Mick, for anybody that doesn't know, he was a great scout for us. He brought through an awful... a lot of good young players with Millwall through and through, like the entire family are. And Mick sadly died this week, and I know it's hit Mark a lot. And I just want to say rest in peace, Mick, and thank you for everything that you did for our football club.
Well said. Thank you, Neil. Yeah, I saw the club put out a tweet, rest in peace, Mick Beard. I just want to add my name to that. Well said, Neil. Huge thank you for taking time out tonight, mate. And we'll be back next week, listeners, after the Peterborough game. So until then, thank you for listening. Arrivederci, Millwall. Bye for now. Normally, at this point, listeners, I'd be rolling the music to fade out the show. However, as I'm doing the editing for this show, I'm just looking at a tweet by Frankie Christou of The Sun, Millwall fan, Frankie, mentioning an incident today where a 60-year-old Millwall fan has been seriously injured, Frankie says, and a 30-year-old Birmingham supporter has been arrested. I don't know any more details about the situation other than what is on social media. I'm not going to speculate or say anything more than that. That's confirmed by West Midlands Police. I just want to send my thoughts and best wishes to that Millwall supporter and his family, and just obviously wish him all the best. As I say, I'm going purely by the tweet. This has come up really as I'm finishing editing the show. So just want to send the thoughts and prayers of all Millwall supporters to the fan concerned, and we'll be praying for good news. And that story will no doubt unfold over the days ahead. But yeah, thoughts and prayers to the person concerned. Thanks for listening, listeners.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.